In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity. And welcome back to another week on the Catholic Toolbox. I'm your host and founder, George Manasseh, here on Facebook Live as we equip you with practical solutions to live your Catholic faith in our modern world today. And today we're joined by two special guests, Joy Villas and Jopoy Menezes. I hope I said that right. From the Philippines. So welcome aboard here tonight live on Facebook.
Hey, what's up, George? Good evening, everybody.
Thanks.
Australia, from those all over the world watching us tonight. Good evening.
Good evening.
Thanks, George, for welcoming us.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Salamat.
Yeah.
Salamat, that's how they say it. Welcome, queers.
Queers.
There you go, yeah. Got my Filipino one, my Tagalog. And so look, here on the Catholic Toolbox, we go into practical solutions on how to live the Catholic faith. I mean, today it's easy to understand and know what the church teaches, but it's actually harder to then live it and put it into practice. So you guys have developed some amazing programs here. We spoke with Frank Padilla last month, and it was tremendous. We had thousands of views on Facebook Live, and it was a tremendous, very successful show. I just want to get into tonight, really, the Live Pure and Live the Word. So we'll start off with Joy. Tell me a bit about Live Pure and what exactly is it, and the whole concept of chastity, and how can we actually practically implement it? If we can get a practical tip from you.
All right. I want to talk about Live Pure first as a movement. So we are a movement of young people, and our mission is to talk to young people about chastity, but you know, in a way that they would be able to embrace it and welcome it, you know, as what we would say in what we learn in theology of the body, we use the way of beauty. We give them the truth about who we are, and we invite them to this beautiful, you know, virtue of chastity. It's not just a list of don't do this, don't do that, but we give them the why they would choose chastity. Why is it the better choice, other than, you know, the things that we could choose, you know, in the world that, you know, we get to be exposed to. So that's so basically Live Pure is a movement of the young for the young, and we advocate the virtue of chastity. Yeah,
exactly. And look, chastity is very important because, I mean, we live in such a sexualized Western civilization where we're basically worshiping sex. And we're worshipping the demoralization of the body. And what we need to do is find... I mean, it's easy to understand that we need, as our Lord commands us, to live purity with our eyes, with our actions, with everything. But it's then hard to put it into practice because it's such a tough society that we're in the Western civilization. And it's creeping in to the Philippines, to the Middle East. It's creeping to Europe. This over-sexualization and the degradation of the human body. So look, Joy... Explain to us a bit about how the program can practically help us implement it in our day-to-day life and live chastity, because it's something so hard. It's easy not to sometimes physically violate our purity, but sometimes with our eyes, sometimes with our emotions. There's different levels of lust. And how can you actually provide us with practical resolutions tonight about how we can actually take action with such an amazing program? So is the Live Pure.
I think for young people, when we desire to live pure, more than addressing the practical tendencies that we have, the first thing that we talk about and live pure is our identity, our dignity, our worth of who we are, because that's where it comes from. If you don't know who you are, then you don't know also what to look for.
That's right.
You know, so what we first deal with in our talks, in our sessions, in our conferences, is we want to encounter young people and allow them to understand who they are, because when we know who we are, then we know what to look for. Because in simple terms, if you know who you are, then you know what you deserve. So living pure starts with the discovery of who you are. Because you cannot master yourself, you cannot practice self-control if you don't even know who to control.
Exactly.
Because you don't know yourself. So that's the basic thing. For our friends who desire to live pure, the first step in really living pure is to know yourself. Because your worth is defined by our image and likeness that God has given us. So when we get to embrace that and we get to value ourselves that way, then I think we get to start the journey in, you know, trying to avoid things that takes away from us the value that we already have.
Exactly. Yeah. And Japoy, I think you may have a bit of an input here about live pure. I mean, living the word and living pure, there is a connection there. So, I mean, what do you think about how we can implement practically our faith in terms of living chastity today? I mean, all the different challenges in Western society.
I think, when it comes to live the word, when it comes to living chastity, what Joy said is already rooted in the word of God.
Yeah, so, exactly. I mean, we're living the word.
For you to know yourself, yeah, you must understand what God has written about it. And it's there right in Genesis, right? Mm-hmm. God created man his own image and likeness. And that speaks of dignity. That's why we have the pillar live pure, because we are called to live that dignity that God has given us.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think, George, what's beautiful about the pillars that we have in Live Christ, Share Christ is that it complements each other. You know,
yeah.
It helps each other to strengthen each other's message. So Live Pure, after young people get to hear about Live Pure talks, we tell them, go be active in the Live the Word hubs or Bible studies, so that your faith, your conviction in living pure will be strengthened even more. So
exactly. I mean, it's very important, because what I really like about the program that Frank Padilla created was that it has different areas and different target areas. So, I mean, Live, Share, Christ is obviously the overall mission of the program. Then you have the pillars of Live Pure,
yeah.
Live the Word, and you focus on different areas. Yeah. And it's very practical, I mean, because what we need now is action in the church today. I mean, we've been going for 40 to 50 years. I mean, talking about nice ideas here and there, but I think as a church we've been inactive, and we haven't been practical enough in our approach to society, to the detriment of the church. The world, the secular world, has beaten us at our game, and we need to reinvigorate how we stand up and we implement our faith.
Yeah.
We need to find real solutions, real resolutions. How do I avoid lust? It may mean that I might have to take a cold shower here and there. I may have to actually go see a counselor or a professional. It may be an underlying problem. We need to look at these and we need to break it up. Sure, it's easy to say, oh, look, we can pray. I mean, that's great. But then there may be a physiological element that you need to look at. I mean, so, and it's really deep. And tonight's toolbox is actually quite short. And I really recommend everybody check out the Live Pure. The Live Pure program, which is the pillar there as part of the Live Christ, Share Christ. I absolutely do recommend it. Now for just a few announcements here tonight. Just want to announce for everybody, make sure to check out Captured Frames. So that is www.capturedframes.com. Captured Frames is an amazing Catholic business of photography. So be sure to email siren@capturedframes.com for your next event. Now we go into the second segment, which is the live the word. So, I mean, it's all about living the word, and Jesus Christ, who is the word, become flesh. I mean, the most beautiful thing about Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the fact that in the Old Testament, the law was written on tablets. It was written through customs, traditions, law, Levitical law. And then finally, he is the living embodiment of that law. So it's no longer written on stone, but written on hearts. So our Lord was the enfleshment of the law. So essentially, we want to become another Christ, another altar Christus. So, Japoy, enlighten us. How can we take action in living the word? And tell us a bit about the program as well, overall, holistically, so we can actually understand. A lot of our listeners are really interested in the Live the Word program.
Thank you, George, for that question. For Live the Word, it is the pillar of Live Christ, Share Christ that promotes an appetite for the written word of God, which is the Bible. Before I continue, George, let me ask you a question. If you've been invited to a Bible study, what comes first to your mind? Is it a Catholic or other sects or denomination?
I'd love to think the Catholic, but I've always, you know, when I came back to the faith in my reversion maybe 12, 13 years ago, I thought to myself, Bible means Protestant, means Bible-believing Christian. We as Catholics have have detached ourselves from the Bible, but... And it's such a shame because we canonize the Bible. If you actually think about it, in the Council of Carthage and Hippo in the 4th century, I mean, it was for 400 years of Christianity. The church went without a Bible. There was no Bible. There was no scripture. There was nothing written. There were letters written, but there was no codified official Bible for 400 years. So I pose that to our Protestant brothers and sisters, that the Bible is a written word which for 400 years, we never had a codified word that we read. We had the tradition, we had the church, we had the magisterium, the 12 apostles and their successors as the bishops. Now, why did they canonize the Bible? Because they needed to know what we can read at the liturgy. So there was a mass before.
Yeah, for the liturgy.
I mean, when I first found this out, that in the 4th century, in the councils of Carthage and Hippo, Pope Damasus I finally codified... what most of the synods actually accepted before then. I mean, I was shocked. I mean, this is what I use to explain to our brothers and sisters who are Protestant, who are Bible-believing Christians. I don't waste my time really anymore with talking about Mary here and there. I get straight to the point. I go straight to the heart of the foundation, the pillar, and I talk about that. So you believe in the Bible. Why do you believe in the Bible? Who put it together? Who made the decision? By what authority? I mean, that will rock the entire theology of sola scriptura. So the Bible exists because we need readings at mass. So how do we then live that, Japoy? Enlighten us.
Actually, that's why I asked you that question. Because here in the Philippines, when you are invited to attend a Bible study, 99.99%, it will be a Protestant. Okay, it will be a born-again group or other Protestant sects and denominations. And what happens is when a Catholic who's looking for something deep in his spirituality attends that Bible study, after a few sessions, he will be invited into their worship service. And after a few attendance to their worship service, they will be baptized into their group. And that former... that Catholic will no longer be Catholic and even will be an attacker of the Catholic Church. Exactly. Okay? They will make statements that before I was Catholic, we thought that we were worshipping the idols, quote-unquote, the statues. They will be a staunch attacker of the Catholic Church. That's why in Live the Word, we create an appetite for Catholics to study the Word of God, because the basic principle is like what you have mentioned, George, that nothing in the Bible is against the teaching of the Catholic Church. And what you've said, it is the Catholic Church that canonized the Bible. It is the Catholic Church that chose which book should belong to the Bible. And the Bible is a Catholic book.
Absolutely.
Right? But unfortunately, it is being used against us. Okay? people will quote the Bible like Exodus 20 verse 4, you shall not make graven image, and make a false accusation that, oh, Catholics, they have images and they are worshiping idols. Okay? And that's why in Live the Word, we use the Word of God to our advantage. Okay? To keep Catholics and make them stronger Catholics by going deeper into the Word of God. And that's the aim of Live the Word. And another thing, it is meant to prepare the Catholic for Sunday Mass, because we use the readings of the Sunday liturgy. And if they've studied it before through the process of liturgical Bible study, they will be more attentive in listening
exactly,
to the Mass.
Exactly. Actually very interesting.
Okay,
because,
go ahead.
Can I stop you there? What is the liturgical Bible study? It's actually very interesting because I'm a liturgical enthusiast. I love liturgy. Especially the extraordinary form of the Roman Rite, the traditional Latin Mass, and both the new Mass, the ordinary form.
Yeah.
But what's a liturgical Bible study? Because it seems it makes sense, because the Bible, essentially the letters, were codified so they could be then read at the Mass. That's why we eventually landed a New Testament a lot of the time. That was most of the reason. So tell us a bit about that liturgical Bible study.
Just a trivia, they canonized the Bible so that they know what to read in Mass, right?
Yeah.
Because they were persecuted at that time. So even though they'll be killed for their faith, at least they're reading the right the right books at Mass. Okay, anyway, liturgical Bible study is it's like the middle ground between Bible sharing and Bible study. Actually, it's called liturgical Bible study, but it's not really a study, because in the mind of the church, when you talk about Bible study, there's a scholar, usually a priest, who's an expert on the Bible, and it is a series of lectures going from Genesis to Exodus, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, Genesis to Revelation. Okay, so that's the typical understanding of a Bible study. It's a series of classes, lectures. Okay, now, on the other hand, Bible sharing, it's more of you'll read a passage in the Bible, probably the gospel for the day, then you'll ask people to share what struck you, okay, in the verse that we've read, and people will pick different verses, then we'll share their personal experience. So Bible sharing is more of word of man there, because it's sharing of the experiences. And over time, what happens in Bible sharing, the sharings are just repeated. Example, if you've been together in a Bible sharing sessions for a year already, doing it weekly, okay, so there's a tendency to repeat the sharing, so it becomes not nourishing anymore. Okay,
exactly.
Now, liturgical Bible study, it's a method formulated by the Divine Word Society, the SVD priests here in the Philippines, namely Father Arlo Yap. And it's the middle ground between the Bible sharing and Bible study. So it uses the Sunday liturgy for the coming Sunday.
Exactly.
The liturgy
so
for the coming Sunday.
It's in sync with the liturgy. Excellent. So that's great. I mean, to study what's being read on the day or the Sunday, I think that's a good way to study the scripture, because it connects us with the liturgy. I mean, and the homily of that day. I mean, that's an amazing idea to engage people. So if you attend daily Mass, that's actually a good idea to then incorporate, to really study scripture through the daily readings and the gospel. I mean, and possibly, and then study the chapters surrounding that to understand the context. I think if somebody wants to really, the lectionary in the ordinary form is actually quite rich, and we can go through the whole Bible on a series of years. So I really do think that's a very good program, very important program that you're actually running there. But tell us a bit about how can Catholics better appreciate the Bible? How can we start reading it again? I mean, a lot of people I speak to, and even myself, sometimes it's sort of hard to pick up scripture and then start reading it and understanding. How should we start from Genesis, from the front to the end? Because that's quite daunting. Or should we, what do you recommend, that we should probably start with the New Testament, maybe a gospel?
Actually, this is already outside the scope of Live the Word, but I saw some resource. I don't know if you're familiar with The Great Adventure Bible Timeline.
Yep.
It's by Jeff Cavins. So I am undergoing that right now, and we are already on our 12th session. It has 24 sessions. It's going through the narrative stories of the Bible. So the Bible has 73 books, but not every book pushes the story forward. Okay, for example, you want to read the Bible, you start with Genesis. It's interesting, right? The story of the patriarchs. Of course, Adam and Eve, patriarchs. Then you go to Exodus, gets more exciting, right?
Exodus is
the Moses going out of Egypt. But what happens when you go to the book of Leviticus? Oh, it's boring.
I like it.
It's just a rule for the priest.
Which I like. The Levitical priest. At least to me, I enjoy the Levitical. I love liturgical laws, Levitical laws. But I think most people, they read that. They sort of look at how they set up the tabernacle, how to sacrifice, how to offer sacrifices to God, the services. Yeah. They look at that differently. So, yeah.
And what's interesting about Live the Word is we use the Sunday readings. And what's very rich about it is most Catholics don't know that the Sunday readings, the Gospel, the first reading, and the second reading, especially during times of there are solemnities, they are all connected with one another. So the Church, our Mother Church, did not give us random passages that we read.
Exactly.
They are all connected because our Mother Church, like a mother, wants to feed us with something very specific for that Sunday. Yeah. And that's one of the aim of Live the Word, to extract the nutrients, like food, okay, being offered by our Mother Church.
Exactly. And what nutrients, Joy, do you think we can extract from Scripture in order to apply to chastity? I mean, look at Matthew chapter 5. And how can we use Scripture to help us in our spiritual growth so that we can overcome the temptations and sins of the flesh?
Well, thank you for that beautiful question, George. What we want to happen in Live Pure is that when we present to young people the beauty of chastity, the beauty of waiting for the right time, and we get to inspire them to really be convicted in those things. But what we tell them in the end is that these things won't be possible unless you have a personal relationship with Christ.
Exactly.
So what we know want to happen in all the things, yeah. What we want to happen in all the things that we do in different pillars is that we want to bring them back first to the church,
yeah,
and then go deeper into the Scripture. Because your background, I had a very beautiful experience in Rome 3 years ago. We started living there 5 years ago. Yeah, 5 years ago. And we have our first ever liturgical Bible study 3 years ago in front of St. Catherine of Siena.
Amazing.
And then what happened, of course, you know what St. Catherine of Siena said, yeah? You become who you are, you set the world on fire. And from then on, 3 years, 3 years ago, until now, every week, young people, Filipino young people and some Italians go with us to have liturgical Bible study because the chastity just opened up the door for them so that they can go deeper in their relationship with Christ. So, Scripture is the foundation of our
blessed
strength.
Exactly.
In
I mean,
living
I think
out
of,
chastity.
I think of blessed be pure, for they shall see God. I mean, the more we work in our purity, the more we'll see God. But yeah, I think we're running out of time. But let's actually wrap up and speak about what practical resolutions can we actually come up with in order to spread this program and also help people come back both to Scripture and to chastity, because I think they're very powerful aspects that we need to focus on, our relationship with our Lord through the written word. I mean, sure, we have the tradition, sure, we have the liturgy, but it often does get forgotten because of the social connotation that the Bible is a Protestant thing, Bible-believing Christians. I mean, and also the fact that we need to grow in our chastity. I mean, let's say pornography, masturbation, cohabitation, premarital sex. These are issues of our society today. And I'll start with Japoy.
Yeah.
For me, when I think of the Bible, of course, it is the Word of God. It's the God-breathed Word of God. and it has the power to transform us. So no matter what sin we are committing right now, the Word of God can transform us. But more than that, the Bible is God's love letter to us. I mean, in my personal reflection of being a missionary for almost more than 20 years now, notice that people sin because they lack the feeling that they are loved. I mean, they resort to those things because they think that they are not loved enough. So when you look at the Bible, it is God's love letter to you of how much He loves you. So more than a book that we need to read, it is God telling you that I love you, and you don't need to do that sin anymore.
Absolutely.
Because in my love, you are already complete.
Exactly. I mean, and then scripture is one of our aids for living chastity. So joy, yeah, enlighten us.
Sure. I want to jump up from what my mentor, Jepoy, said, that the Bible is God's love letter to us. And what we would need to do as a church is to give the truth to people. And give it in a new, you know, newfound energy, enthusiasm, new evangelization.
As every generation should.
Because that's what the people need nowadays. They need to be enticed to look at the church. And what the church lacks, as what you said right now, a while ago, is that we lack the enthusiasm, the passion, the action to do it. So young people, in the perspective of Live Pure, they need the truth because they have been exposed to relativism, you know. And when you get exposed to that, you get to be led to confusion. But the truth that we have in the church, the catechism, the scripture, and the church as a loving mother, it welcomes you. A lot of people say no to the church because they think that the church is against them. But when we get to give the truth to them in a loving way, in a way that they could understand and accept. For the past few days, the gospel readings, Jesus has been using parables. If the church right now can use parables in the way of new evangelization, I think more and more people can go back to the church and be loved.
That's absolutely
by
true.
The church.
I just also wanted to that's absolutely amazing what you said there, and I just want to touch a little bit about what's the faith in the Philippines like at the moment, because you speak about this Protestantization of a lot of Filipino Catholics. Give me a rundown here in Australia, and also we're live on EWTN Asia Pacific for those around the world internationally listening to us. Yeah. What's the faith like in the Philippines? I mean, because it's a country of faith, and what's the current situation there? If you can give us a bit of an update.
Well, the Philippines is, they say it's 80% Catholic.
Mm. Yeah.
But I don't know the exact numbers, but I think 15 to 20% just go to Sunday Mass. And it's deceiving. It's a little bit deceiving, but because when you go to Mass every Sunday, there are 10 Masses in a day.
Wow.
Okay? And the churches are full. And the churches are full. But if you'll do the numbers, those are only 15 to 20% of Catholics going to Mass.
Wow.
And those who are going to Mass are going there because it is purely because of obligation. Okay, so when you ask them about their faith, or even who are they receiving in the Mass, they cannot answer. They cannot answer the real presence, the transubstantiation. They cannot answer those things. It is just pure of the faith being handed down. And the Philippines is very much sacramentalized. We have lots of what they call this festivities, Catholic festivities here. Case in point, we have the Sinulog, the Nazareno,
which I experienced myself.
Festivity,
yeah.
Where millions attend that.
Yeah.
Okay, but those things, you ask yourself what happens to those Catholics. So we are highly sacramentalized, but we are not catechized.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the situation.
That's why the sects and denominations are easily getting...
It is, yeah. And I think it's very important what you're doing, especially in the Philippines. I mean, there's a great Filipino presence here in Australia and Sydney, especially. And it's very important that you continue doing the work that you do in the Philippines to reinvigorate the faith of everybody here tonight. But thank you very much, Joy and Japoy. Thank you very much for being with me tonight live.
Our pleasure.
On Facebook.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Now, if you enjoy listening to the Catholic Toolbox, why not email us for a speaking event or consultation at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com. That is thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com. Thank you very much for listening, especially tonight. We've been Facebook Live also on EWTN Asia Pacific. Thank you very much for everybody tuning in from there. Be sure to check out Captured Frames. That is www.capturedframes.com, or email Siren for any photography that you may require. Don't forget to support Catholic businesses. It's absolutely important to support each other, especially during this time of COVID-19. So you can email siren@capturedframes.com and check out Captured Frames on www.capturedframes.com. Now it's time to conclude. Thank you very much for tuning in live with me here on the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manasseh. Until next week, God bless, take care, and take action. In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity.